Hi, my name is Juliet Elmas. I live in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. It's October 11th, 2011, first day of the Missing Women's Inquiry.
How can you relate your story with the story of this missing and murdered woman?
Oh, it's basically been a ribbon all throughout my life, starting in my teens, growing up in the north side of Port Coquitlam, just a few blocks away from the Picton pig farm. And what happened was, of course, in my adolescence, I had really no idea that violence against women was so close to me. I sensed it culturally. At that time, video technology was just developing, was just coming out in the domestic sphere. And violent pornography was being distributed at a massive rate as I was a growing teenager, a growing young woman. And what was very bizarre for me was just suddenly in my sleepy north side of Port Coquitlam neighborhood, this red-hot video pops up. And, you know, on the window signs, they've got their XXX. And, you know, up to this time, I had lived in a fairly sleepy suburban neighborhood, you know, very, I'd say, a working-class neighborhood. And this type of a store in a strip mall just never existed before. So for me, it stood out like a sore thumb. And as I began to inquire as to what they sold there, and I even went into the store and saw myself the videotapes. And you know, at this time, I was about 17 years old. And I was horrified. I was like, oh, my God, they're torturing women and putting on videotape for people to take in their private homes and watch and pouring out. And I found that really threatening. And, of course, at the time, I really didn't know that my neighbor, Robert Picton, had already started murdering. The first DNA evidence that was discovered on that farm dated back to 1978. 1983 was Roberta Gounod. And when I went to prison for being an urban guerrilla, you know, attacking, you know, my whole deal in the Squamish Five was the torching of the red hot videos. The Lytton bombing was just a matter of fact, had to, part of business in terms of getting to what I needed to get done, which was to I wanted to just destroy this pornography store in my neighborhood. How? Wasn't really, that was the fun of it, you know, whether we dynamited it or firebombed it, we didn't know when, but that was my whole impetus for getting involved in direct action. And then the Lytton bombing occurred, and then after the Lytton bombing, you know, people were injured. And it's interesting because really the motivation of why we kept going was, you know, a very personal, how do I put it? I think Ann Hansen really felt a responsibility to me for having gotten involved with the Lytton bombing and helped them so direly, and the results were just so horrendous. And they knew my whole impetus for going along with them and getting involved was so that we could get back and get rid of the pornography stores that were, I felt, were terrorizing my neighborhood. And that's why we kept going. That is, after the Lytton bombing, Ann promised me that we would do it. And sure enough, the men ended up crapping out, but the Women's Fire Brigade was formed almost immediately, and we did the business of getting rid of those pornography stores. And I'll tell you, even though I had a lot of regrets for Lytton bombing and the people that were injured, I had an incredible amount of pride and confidence in having taken the violent direct action against those porn stores. I even phoned home to somewhat gloat about it, in pride to my father. So, you know, this was my, it was really what motivated me to become an urban guerrilla, was those violent pornography being sold in my neighborhood.
In your mind, what is the relation between this porn industry and what happened to this missing and murdered woman?
Well, you know, I like to only really talk about what I know, and I've never worked in sex trade industry, and I really can't say, okay, I really can't say what really goes on in the sex industry, other than to say that because I've never worked in it, my life's been quite good and happy. I equate the sex industry with violence against women and children, And, you know, but I have to say I've never worked in it, so I really don't know firsthand. But I sure, when I went to prison, which I relate to going down the rabbit hole, like Alice in Wonderland, when I went down that rabbit hole and ended up in prison, I came face to face with the missing women. And the missing women's story really started for me then. You know, I'm sure even Anne Hansen will remember the women telling us, you know, Roberta's gone missing. You know, women were going missing right back from the early 80s. And, of course, being in prison, I came on very close friendship. I developed very close friendships with several of the missing women. Georgina Papin, Cindy Felix, Wendy Crawford. Oh, they were very vibrant women, strong women, women who had survived enormous torture. And, you know, so this is how my story relates to all this. When I ended up going to prison, sentenced to 20 years for being an urban guerrilla, I was in prison for 6.5 years. And I became very good friends with these women over the years, and I learned about their lives. And their lives were an endless stream of torture that they had survived through their wits and strength and solidarity with one another. They had survived. Oh, it just does chill me to think how 20 years later, their DNA of these women was found on my neighbor's farm. It was very hard for me to make sense of it all. The horror is unspeakable. You know, to this day, you know, we have this missing women's inquiry about to go underway. In fact, today is day one. And it still hasn't sunk in to people that the police conduct aided and abetted Robert Picton in killing all of those women. And I would go so far as to say, or maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, because in 1997, Robert Picton actually targeted me with Andy Bellwood. It's a bit of a long story that I won't get into here, but I narrowly escaped. I'm certain that I was in the face of a monster. I phoned the RCMP immediately with a license plate number. Yes, I was hysterical. I had narrowly escaped severe violence, and I felt it immediately. And I reported it to the police with the license plate number in 1997, March 8th, 1997. And they did nothing. They patronized me, and they told me not to bother my neighborhood, not to bother people in my neighborhood, and to report to my parole officer immediately. So, you know, now here we are with the inquiry into determining why the police behaved in the way they did and why 66 women went missing from the downtown east side, and their murders have yet to be respected and tried in any kind of judicial way. In fact, what they've done here is the attorney general who swept the convictions and the proper trials for these murders, he swept them under the rug. He's actually in charge of the commission. So it's a moral conundrum, you know.
And also the police was paid to participate to this inquiry, but not the grassroots people, not the grassroots groups. Not the women groups, not the indigenous ones.
Oh, it's horrible. The prima facie injustice, unfairness of it all is just so severe that last night, as early as last night, three more women's groups pulled out of the inquiry out of solidarity with the women that were denied funding. Of course, the police and the politics involved in all this, they have their full legal pig representation, and they will avoid, you know, save thy ass, avoid any kind of responsibility. I have watched since the Robert Picton was arrested. I have watched. I attended the trial. I went days in the trial, especially the pretrial conferences, where they determined what evidence was going to be admissible and what wasn't, and that was the true tell sign that the criminal justice system was turning itself inside out to avoid being colluded and being found guilty of aiding and abetting these murders. And that is what we're seeing today. We are seeing a criminal justice system that is broken. It's turning itself so ugly inside out so that it won't be found responsible. It's all about the liability. It'll bring everything down. So they're desperately trying to hide the truth. because I believe the truth is that the drug police were doing business on that farm. They were doing police business on that farm. And I think that I just have a very strong, strong feeling that in my gut, I just know it, that they aided and abetted in the murders of every single one of my friends. And they almost aided and abetted in my murder. Yeah, I lived so close to that monster, grew up beside it. And when I was a little girl, I had a friend who lived right down the street on Dominion Avenue from the Picton Pig Farm. And whenever I'd go over to her house and play, we were never allowed outside because of the boys. They were that rough. They would beat us up as little girls. In the woods, they used to throw knives at our feet. Not just the Pictons, per se, but there was a culture of violence against women and girls when I was growing up in Port Coquitlam. Still exists today, a culture of violence against women and children. Still exists full on. It hasn't diminished one bit, I don't think so.
And also the violence against Native people.
Oh, and let's admit it, the violence against men as well. I mean, you know, when it's just men perpetuating it, it doesn't fall only on them, you know. It's a means to an end, and it goes around, what goes around comes around. What gives me great resolve is that I know how much those women were loved, and I know that they were loved by strong men and women, and they'll fight, and they'll continue the fight.
Do you want to add something? Do you have any, ideas about how we can fight against that?
Well, I would never want to tell anybody what kind of direct action is best for them. I believe in a diversity of action. I believe that everybody... Actually, if I could comment on this, for me to actually say what's best for someone else, is that's the role of media. I don't play media, and I don't play politics. I think I would never disrespect anybody's direct action, even if they made a mistake, because I know where it comes from. My hopes and dreams are that for people in this technologically advanced society to not be desensitized to the violence around them. And that's what media does to us. It tells us what direct actions are good and what direct actions are bad and what to think and feel. And this is really problematic when we get to this level of social breakdown, because one hand doesn't know what the other is doing. And what we all need to do is clearly understand the moral conundrum that we're in and support one another to be strong, to fight, and especially women. This is a time where I think women should learn skills of how to understand who their enemy is and how to protect themselves. And that's all I'll say.
Thanks.